Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Kristi Noem has taken her place as South Dakota's 33rd governor. SDPB brings you her first State of the State and budget address tomorrow live from Pierre. In the Moment, broadcast live from the Capitol building this Wednesday and Thursday, when we'll hear from Governor Noem, South Dakota Supreme Court Chief Justice David Gilbertson, legislative leaders, South Dakota Attorney General Jason Roundsburg, and more. But first, SDPB's Stephanie Ristler sat down with Noem ahead of the inauguration ceremonies for a preview of state priorities and partnerships.
It's almost as if you've come full circle, and I want you to talk about how that feels, knowing when you first came here representing District 6 and now becoming the state's governor. What's that feel like?
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day with the family, because when I first was elected to the legislature, the kids were so little and they would come with me. I think Booker was just 4 or 5 years old. And a lot's changed since then, but it's really special because this isn't a strange brand new experience for me. Even though I'm in a very different role, I'm excited to see legislators. I'm excited to watch the process happen again. That's just something that doesn't happen in D.C. like it does here in South Dakota, to see people do their job, balance a budget, and work together to get the important problems and situations in the state addressed together.
I went back and I came across a quote, and if it's not right, let me know. But what it said was, you had mentioned, our future depends on our ability to honestly evaluate where we are today and make the tough choices necessary to create new opportunities for families and small businesses. What do you foresee those tough choices will be?
Well, I think a lot of times we look at South Dakota and we talk about the things that we do right here. And we do a lot of things very well. We have people that work hard. We have a government that does balance its budget, makes decisions, works to serve people. But we do have some big challenges coming. And if we're going to be a state where families continue to live and run their small businesses and kids can be safe and have opportunities to go on and be successful, they need to have safe communities. We need to address rising crime rates. We need to address our mental health issues that we have going on in the state and drug problems that are escalating. And those need to be talked about too. So it will take hard work and building consensus to make sure that we are adequately dealing with those problems while still focusing on the positives, but not be afraid to look away from those challenges that we've had in South Dakota for many years, but we haven't come up with solutions for yet.
Okay. So on the flip side of that, we'll address those tough challenges, make those tough choices, but for the betterment of our state, to create opportunities. What do you think those opportunities could be?
I think those opportunities could be us having new industries in the state. We have the next generation of kids that want to have technology jobs. They want to be involved in biotech, partnering in innovative agriculture solutions. And we need to bring those businesses here. We need to give them education opportunities here in South Dakota so that they can stay here, raise their families, and go on to be successful. And then we've got a lot of communities that are just struggling. Our Native American communities, we all know, have been some of the most devastated communities in the nation. The way we work with them, the reforms that we can pursue, I believe can set an example to the nation.
I want to talk about that because you do have David Flute, lifelong member of the Sisseton-Wahpeton Sioux Tribe. He'll take over as the Secretary of Tribal Relations. What do you foresee our relationship with the tribes?
Well, I've worked with the tribes for many years now, trying to bring them resources that would help their communities. And I've worked with then Chairman Flute as well on education, on a justice center for Sisseton-Wahpeton and their tribe. And so I know them very well, and I've seen their challenges firsthand. I've been in their schools and their hospitals and their poor health care. And as a mother, it is devastating to me that we have families and children that have only limited options here in South Dakota. So his perspective as a chairman and making decisions for his people will be important. He's aggressive. He's pursued economic development opportunities for his tribe. And he brings new ideas and a willingness to partner with the state that I think can carry to the rest of our tribes as an ambassador of new opportunities for them if they're willing to partner with new ideas.
So his role, do you see his role being bigger than it's been than other secretaries?
I see him being very active. I wanted someone that would take over tribal affairs that would get up every single day being aggressive in creating new opportunities for our tribes. And that's for their kids, for healthcare, for education, but also for economic development. And we all know that they're incredibly challenged with a suicide epidemic, mental health services. We can partner with them, but we need tribes to be able and be willing to have partnerships with the state that they've never had before. And I think that he is a good messenger for us, and his ability to do that will be very powerful in bringing everybody to the table to come up with solutions that work.
What advice, or have you received advice from Governor Dugard as he exits?
Governor Dugard's been amazing. We have spent hours together. In fact, right away, he invited me to be a part of his budget discussions with his entire team. So I sat down with his cabinet members, I sat down with his budget analysts to really talk over where we were financially as a state and what his budget would look like. And I was able to ask questions back and forth on why they made the decisions that they made, how revenue was coming in, what the changes would be. And then every week we've sat down and had meetings, just me and Governor Dugard, me asking him questions that have come up in different department briefings, or him giving me information that he wished he maybe would have known right when he first was sworn in. So he's been phenomenal in his transparency, openness, willingness to be available to me just to answer any question that I may have.
You've not yet been sworn in, but still I know you've been busy. Mm-hmm. You've been creating your team that will mm-hmm. lead the state. Some have stayed, some will be new. Mm-hmm. As you've looked at what that team will look like, what kind of leaders have you been looking for?
You know, for me, it's important that we get the right person, and then we go forward with how to use them and in what policies we'll be going after, utilizing the skill and talent that they bring to the position. So I said consistently over the last several years, I'm looking for people that get that the job isn't about them, that it's about serving people. And so every one of the individuals that I've asked to be a part of this team understand that we are going to be serving people each and every day and looking at things very differently than maybe they've approached it in the past. So we have some new members. We also have people that have been a part of state government in the past that will bring a perspective and some institutional knowledge that'll be helpful. But for all of them, we're going to be reformers. We're going to look at our state government and keep the things that we do very, very well, but also look at our programs and see ways that we can serve people in a better way and be more efficient for the taxpayers.
This last year, a lot of attention has been given to some successful women that were mm-hmm. successful in politics. Mm-hmm. You've been named one of the top to look at in 2019 mm-hmm. in terms of the Republican Party. It's been mentioned you're our first female governor, mm-hmm. but there's not been a lot of fanfare about it. Mm-hmm. But I've not heard you talk about it in great detail. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I didn't talk about it that much during the campaign because I really wanted people to vote for me because of my experience. I wanted them to vote for me because of what I brought to the table and that they really believed I was the best person for the job. But now that I've been elected and will be sworn in here shortly, it is becoming pretty real how special it is. I get a lot of parents bringing their little girls up to me to take pictures. I've gotten some neat letters in the mail. And I'm realizing that it is a heavy responsibility and a unique opportunity for me to be a good example. So I wake up every day recognizing that this is a special moment in time, and it is important for young women to see that they can do anything that they set their mind to. But also for me to remember that everybody's watching me and that I need to work hard every day to make sure that I set that example so that they know that this is something that they can achieve and that they would want to do.
Our state will also have its first gentleman. Mm-hmm. Does Brian know yet what his role will be or what he wants it to be?
He does, he's excited, which I think everybody will really look forward to getting to know him because he is fun and has a great personality, and he loves South Dakota. In fact, he's passionate about small towns and history. I think he's visited every little movie theater and high school gym in the state and loves people. So he's gonna do a fantastic job as first gentleman. And so I'm really looking forward to everybody getting to see and know him because he's been, you know, when he married me, he thought I was gonna be a farmer. And, you know, our whole life has completely changed because of what we've chosen to do as a couple and as a family. And he has just been extremely flexible and believed in the fact that we have some great opportunities as a family to tackle this, and people are going to love him.
Speaking of family, this weekend will be about celebrating our state, celebrating mm-hmm. your win, your achievements, and all of those that have been elected. What are you looking forward to the most as you're here with your family and your supporters?
Well, a lot of times when you're out on the campaign trail, and when I've been in D.C., I'm separated from my family. So I will literally have virtually all of my family in one place for a couple of days. So I'm looking forward to that. I think we'll have some downtime, and we'll spend some time playing games and talking a little bit, but just enjoying each other. Because after that, of course, session will begin, and it'll be incredibly busy again. But just being together has been the biggest gift of all, and I'm looking forward to doing that this weekend.
So session will begin. You're no stranger to how it works. Have you put together your agenda as to whether or not you'll bring legislation this mm-hmm. session or not?
I have. We will be talking about that in the State of the State address that's coming up in just a few days. But I do have policy proposals I'll be putting forward. And I also will have a budget that I'll bring forward that will identify my priorities as well as to where we should be plugging in resources and maybe where we should reevaluating what we're doing. And that's incredibly important. So I think people just need to look at what did I campaign on? What did I say I would do? Because I fully intend to follow through on those promises. That creating new educational opportunities for our next generation of kids, bringing the next big industry to our state, making sure that we have internet access in South Dakota to help economic development happen. Those are all things I'm passionate about. But then mental health services and attacking this war on meth and drugs that is impacting our state has to be a priority as well.
My last question, you will become our state's chief executive officer. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to the most?
It's hard to know. I'm looking forward to being in South Dakota all the time. That's the, you know, I spent the last 8 years living out of a carry-on suitcase on an airplane in Washington, D.C., which I was very grateful for the time to do that, but I'm so thrilled that I get to be in South Dakota all the time. I think everybody who knows me knows that I've missed being here full-time and that this is a wonderful opportunity for me to be with the people that I love in the state that I love. Doing what really I'm passionate about.